What is up, everybody? Today we're talking about if Cardi B is becoming a TV star and a lot more on Black Hollywood Live's The Trend.
I'm not a big diamond fan, but that's another conversation. What's up,
everybody? Welcome to Black Hollywood Live's The Trend. I'm your host, Dario Kristen. Joining me today is Courtney Stewart.
What up, y'all?
We also going to have a special guest going to join us in the second half of the show from CW's All-American. Her name is Kareema Westbrook.
Woo-woo! She's talking about new shows.
New shows on CW, Black folks.
On CW.
Jinx.
How do we do that?
We in sync, girl. How's your week, Courtney?
Thank God it's Thursday.
Been
getting through it. I'm ready for Halloween, actually.
I feel like
I need to do something Halloween-y, even though I'm not a big Halloween person to begin with. But, like, I feel like I need to hayride it or something. Like, I don't know.
That sounded kind of dirty. I don't know why. That was
Dario. What's in that cup? Oh my God!
It's H2O, the cleanest form. I'm actually going to see Halloween tonight.
Yeah,
I'm hype about it. You know, I try not to read too much. I know Rotten Tomatoes get about 82%.
Just go and enjoy.
I'm just going to go and enjoy. Mm-hmm. But I still got to pick what my Halloween outfits are going to be.
Well, you know, you have an idea yet of costumes, or are you still?
I have no clue this year. I don't know.
My homeboy posted already. He's like, I got my three ready. And I was like, how you got three and you already done? Like, I don't have none.
Yeah, I don't.
I have no idea. I don't know.
I mean, one of them is a masquerade party, so I know that's kind of easy.
That's just wearing a little mask.
But the others, I don't know. Like, I usually am really good this year. I gotta go this weekend and really try.
You're not inspired?
I don't know why. I'm not.
Why?
I just don't feel like going to the stores with the crowds.
Oh, okay. Well, order it online.
Oh, that's true.
That's what you need to decide.
But see, it's too late now, because now it's going to be all extra shipping costs.
I mean, you could do it by this weekend. If you do it by, like,
what, 2 weeks out? Okay, yeah,
maybe. You got time.
All right, what are we talking about today, besides Halloween?
Let's start off with the Queen Bee, y'all. She's been in the news this week because apparently everybody mad at Beyonce. Like, this kind of came as a little bit of a shock to me, not for real, but, like, kind of. I was like, what? So this company by the name of Morning Consult did a survey, basically, a research among adults in America, Democrats and Republicans, and they were trying to determine who, in terms of celebrities, are, you know, the most liked or disliked or have the most problem with Democrats versus Republicans. And it turns out that Beyonce divides Democrats and Republicans more sharply than any other celebrity on this planet.
Really?
Including people like Rush Limbaugh and Sean Hannity. Beyonce causes a bigger divide than people like that.
Really?
Isn't that shocking?
I mean, I don't know, really. I don't know if I'm that shocked.
You don't think you're that? Why? How? I'm shocked as hell. Because I would think, like, okay, for example, Sean Hannity. For those of you that don't know, he's a host on Fox News that he be talking out the side of his neck on a regular basis. Sorry for Fox News fans that might be listening to us that probably are not. Anyway, I would think that, like, 100% Democrats would, like, hate him.
Right.
And then, like, 100% Republicans would hate him. So the divide would be, like, huge.
Right.
But it's worse for Beyonce.
So it's the divide of which particular...
It's the divide between Democrats and Republicans, like, if it's splitting the nation that way. So, like, more, obviously, a lot, what is it? Her Democrats was, like, 63% favorable, and she had a negative 3% for Republicans.
Hmm. Well, yeah, okay, I guess I'm surprised then.
Doesn't that shock me?
I mean, that is kind of shocking,
like,
actually.
Beyonce?
Yeah.
Y'all that mad that she was not this, like, smiling, light-skinned black girl that won't say anything, that was very sweet and sang all these love songs and female power songs, and then she came out and put on what they call black power uniform for the Super Bowl in 2016, and they got that mad, and they still mad.
I mean, but she was making a statement. I wasn't mad at her.
Her statement is, my daddy Alabama, my mama Louisiana. Obviously, I got an opinion on this shit. And y'all shooting my brothers. Like, why is that ostracizing? Like, that you're so upset about that. Like, y'all need to check yourselves, Republicans.
I mean, but you know, they're going to be mad at anything that is a sway against them. You know what I mean?
I mean, I guess. But I was shocked.
I mean, to each your own.
Yeah. But just to round out that list so you guys know, in terms of, it's the divide between Democrats and Republicans. Also on the list were Rush Limbaugh, Katy Perry, Ellen DeGeneres. Sean Hannity did finish in the top five, and so did LeBron James.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
And Jay-Z's on the list. He's in the top 10, but he didn't make the top five.
Okay, but his wife did.
He wasn't quite as divisive as... I wonder why that is. Well, maybe because his star is not quite as high.
Yeah,
as
I mean, obviously he has his own star, but Beyoncé is Beyoncé. Beyoncé is Beyoncé.
And her appeal is a bit wider, so more people I like how you turned your phone off, though.
I know.
Okay, so there you go, y'all. Everybody mad at Beyoncé, and I just took that as a moment to say, congratulations, Beyoncé, you did that shit. Because if they still mad, you did that,
you made,
girl.
You did your job.
You did your job.
Because they still talking about you.
They still talk about you.
And it's a long time since then.
Okay, it's been 2 years. Right. All right, so moving on, speaking of somebody that was mad as hell. Okay, so we have, I feel like we have like another deluge of white folks calling police on the black folks for no reason. Last week we had Cornerstone Caroline up in Brooklyn, who she was at a bodega, and apparently she thought that a 9-year-old little black boy had groped her behind while she was at the counter. And she proceeded to yell at this child and get irate with the mother. And she and the mother had words, and she called the police, supposedly, to report a 9-year-old child for sexually assaulting her. Mm. That's what she was saying on the phone. The boy was crying. The boy was with his sister as well. They were both crying. It was a whole mess of a thing. And it was caught on tape by somebody who was there, and he posted it and wanted it to go viral. The video obviously did go viral. It got over 8 million views. And eventually they brought the lady back and let her look at the video in the bodega of what actually happened. And what actually happened was the little boy's backpack brushed against her as he walked by. And so she went on the news and actually apologized to the little boy. And this week, the little boy and his mom were on the news. And the little boy said, I do not accept her apology. She needs help.
I agree with them. Good.
I agree. And there's some word on the street that the Caroline, Cornerstone Caroline, would like to sue the mother for escalating the events and making it a scene.
I mean, okay, so why does she need to call the police?
That is what, you know what I'm saying? Need to understand.
It's one thing to scold him or say something to him, or where's your mama at,
yeah,
where's your daddy at?
Exactly.
You know, get a little upset. But to call the police, I mean, if he was a 30-year-old man, I understand. But I understand more.
Yes.
But a little kid.
A 9-year-old child. And I feel like I need to go like survey random white people in random neighborhoods and try to understand why is that a call that is necessary for the police? And I know there's some discussion about making it, making there be some kind of punishment for these types of phone calls.
I think they should be.
Some kind of tax or something.
Yeah.
Because it's a waste of resources.
We're paying for it.
Especially if the police have to come out. Yeah, especially if the police have to come out. The police didn't actually come out to that scene, I don't believe. Yeah, but it just shocks me.
Are you really that shocked, though?
Well, no, it did shock me, because when you look at the video and you see the boy, 9 years old, like you said, I understand saying something.
Sure.
But the idea that you would hold the phone, and mind you, CNN reported that there was no record of an actual 911 call, so she was bullshitting to scare the kid. And knowing what's going on in the country, knowing that 12-year-old children, 9-year-old kids have been shot and killed by police because of phone calls like that, and knowing that little boy probably knows that,
yeah,
the fact that you would do that at all is disgusting to me. Like, I don't understand.
Yeah,
as
I'm
a
sure
human
that
being,
she, yeah,
like...
She- probably did it on purpose.
Just like on a human level, like, why would you ever do that? Because you could definitely have addressed the issue with the mom, with the little boy, and never had made it a police situation at all.
Absolutely.
And I just can't understand why it's so hard to do.
And then we also had, there was a couple things over in the news this week. There was the other little boy who
was selling CDs or something, and the cop, he was asking the cop, like, respectfully to, like, please let him go.
Yeah.
And
he has a bruise on his arm now.
He has a bruise on his arm because the cop, and then the cop got irate with his aunt or someone that was with him. Like, that was a hot mess.
And then he went on Ellen, right? Was he the one who went on Ellen? There was one. There was one little boy that went on Ellen. I believe that was him. If I'm wrong, hopefully I'm not. But I think he went on Ellen.
Yeah, but you see the video, and the kid is like, "I know my rights. Please release my arm."
Yeah.
Don't, like, he was super, like, way respectful beyond what he. I would have been like probably crazy and hysterical, like whatever. And the cop was just aggressive and unnecessary. And then there was the crazy lady that wouldn't let the grown man into his own apartment, and that was also like in Brooklyn, I believe. But it's just like where.
And then like last week, there was the black guy who got the police called on him because he was babysitting the white kids.
Oh, remember that story? Yep.
You know what I mean? It's like a lot going on.
And there's another one where there was a father watching his son's soccer game from a car, or he was somewhere like off to the side watching the soccer game, and got the police called on him because he was sitting there watching the soccer game. Like, is this, like, why is this
where
funny?
Are we, I mean,
what are we supposed to do, white people?
Yeah, I mean, we can't, literally, we can't walk by being black. You know what I mean? Like, you can't walk and be black at the same time.
What
are you
supposed to do? Like, I don't, what are we supposed to do, man? What
I mean, I do
that?
Agree, back to what you said, that there should be some type of repercussion because, you know, to stop this.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Use it in an emergency.
Yes.
The cops, you use them in an emergency.
In
there's
an
a
emergency.
Lot of things going on in the world.
Thank you.
That the cops need to be taken
yes.
care of. You know what I mean?
Yes.
People are being shot and
yes.
things like that. So let them...
Or when there's
harm coming
your
or,
way. Like the 9-year-old boy, even if he did grope you, let's say he groped you. He can't hurt you for
right.
real.
And how old was she?
She's like, she looked like.
I mean, you can't go by look. Can't go by the look.
She looked like she could be a woman of a certain age, like 40s,
okay,
early 50s, maybe.
Okay,
somewhere around there. You know, whatever. It just don't make no sense.
It don't make no
like,
sense.
Like, let's just talk to the kid and be like, yo. Did you just touch my booty?
Right.
And he would have been like, no. And we're like, okay, are you sure? Whatever.
White
anyway.
Folks, stop calling the cops on
stop
black folks.
Stop calling the police.
We are not, the
crime
is not, it's not,
not
the time.
Okay. You
it's
just
not
don't
okay.
Know.
It's not the time.
That escalates it immediately by saying you calling the police and it turns it into another whole
situation.
And most
yeah.
of this stuff is, you know, neighborhood-ish that you can squash with your neighbors. Why yeah. are we so scared of our neighbors?
Scared.
I ain't scared of my neighbors.
I tell you, I ain't scared of my neighbors.
I talk
either.
To my neighbors. Like, can you not do that? Thanks. That's all you got to do.
That's all you got to do.
That's all you got to do.
All right. Well, don't mess with Courtney. Shit. We're going to move on to
actually,
our...
Actually, I'm not even that bad. Like, I don't be telling my neighbors to do shit for real. I feel like when we live in apartments. I live in an apartment. Like, some shit you just got to accept is the case because you live in an apartment.
Yeah, I mean...
And you just got to let shit go.
You just got
to
let go.
But I did have a neighbor that was...
What would be the... Why you call a cop on?
I wanted to call a cop on my neighbor who came over to my house talking about, it's really, like, this noise, like, in your room. And he, like, I literally had just moved in, like, not even that long. And he just, like, was really weird in the beginning. And then he complained about this noise and this knocking in my room. And I was just like, okay. Turns out, I don't want to tell the story because this is about to turn inappropriate. But,
I'm like,
not really inappropriate. The only thing that was wrong is that my bed frame, I lost the bolt, mm-hmm. so I can't attach my headboard to the frame. Mm-hmm. So this sounds way worse than it is.
I'm not saying nothing.
So even if you like sit on the bed, it taps the wall, but it's not like.
Right.
Whatever.
Right.
The point is,
tell yourself that, Court.
It was not loud at all. Mm-hmm. Like, you cannot, there's no way it was, like, so disturbing that it was, like, a serious problem. And I was just like, you really calling me? Like, you really over here talking about, like, that's what you, okay. All right. So I just, you know, I put a sock behind the, I hate you.
Mm-hmm. All right. Listen, we are not in the climate for me to make any comments about that at all.
Okay.
We're going to move on.
Speaking of climates,
we're going to move on to our EUR Web Story Spotlight of the Week.
EUR Web Story Spotlight of the Week.
Well, speaking of the so current temperature between the male and female relationships in America, Whoopi Goldberg, who is very outspoken.
Yes, she is.
We all know her from The View and from Oscar-winning
everything,
The Ghost and actress
fabulous.
And comedian and her fabulousness. She went on a rant recently
yeah.
in England about the Me Too portion of the Me Too movement. Basically, she was talking about women who were using their sexuality to get film roles and award shows and
to get Oscars.
To get Oscars and
selling pussy for Oscars.
Basically,
is essentially what she said.
Basically, what she said. And she pretty much went on a long rant about that and how, you know, she felt that some of it was very inappropriate the way women are handling the Me Too movement and what they're saying and how they're using their bodies in ways to maneuver in their career. So this is what she said exactly. It's like if some guy said to me, we're going to have a meeting up in my hotel room. You don't effing go. You don't go. And if you do, cop to it. Say, that's right. I went up there and had sex with that ugly ass man so I could get an Oscar and a Tony. All right, Whoopi. And am I talking about myself? No. We have to teach young women better, she said. And then she went on. This rant was on October 13th in Leeds, England. She said she also blasted men for coming after women who had used the Me Too movement to reveal sexual attacks. Apparently, she said, apparently American white men are angry because they're at the top of the food chain. They can get anything they effing want, but it's not enough. So they're coming after our women. She said, women are saying, are you kidding me? You can't put this genie back in a bottle. Women are not taking any BS.
Not anymore.
Whoopi was going on.
She went on. She got a little flack for it because, you know, there's argument about, you know, oh, she went to the hotel. It's not her fault and all of that. And I think what I at least take from the core of what she's saying is that there is a level of personal responsibility because, sure. And I think I've said that when we first started talking about it, like there are definitely women that were in position and they, in order to move faster in their careers or go whatever, they were willing to not speak up if something inappropriate happened to them because their career was more important. And I think that we have to own some responsibility in that. And that is also partially why these men were able to continue to perpetuate this
sure.
behavior with no punishment because there were people that could have spoken up. It may have shifted the direction of their career, how quickly they got to an Oscar or what have you, but if they were in a position of enough power that had they said more or said something that they could have helped sooner. And I think that we should actually own that responsibility. And as women as well, I think that she was saying we have to teach our girls better. And I think that this idea of a lot of women are very easily want to please and say yes and not, even if they feel uncomfortable, like going up to the hotel room, it's like, well, I don't want to upset him. He's in power. He's in control. Like the ability to assert oneself, we should be teaching that a little bit stronger than we have in the past to women.
I agree with that.
And I think that would be helpful. So I know people came for her kind of hard.
They did come for her.
You know, I mean, it's hard because you don't want to be like, it's like in one breath you're saying women should speak up and these men suck for not wanting women to speak up. But then you're saying these women got to take responsibility
right.
for walking up to the hotel room. So right. it's like.
Oh. And then she got on the men too. You know what I mean? She kind of hit every category.
You know, Whoopi's grandma at this point and we love her. And
she cranky.
You know?
She might have been cranky.
She's just
day.
Saying what
no,
she's
saying. No, she's saying what she wants to say.
You know?
I ain't mad at her.
Because when I'm, how old is she?
She's
62. 65,
62, I think. 62.
Yeah, I'm going to be saying whatever. I want.
I think you say whatever you want already.
I kind of do, but not. I don't. I really don't. I'm pretty. I still filter a little bit.
Yeah.
A lot. I filter a lot. Okay.
Okay. Yeah. So, all right. Well, I feel that. I feel that. I mean, okay. So, I do have one quick question with this because where does it go from here? Because, you know, we are in a state where, you know, we saw what happened to Bill Cosby. We, mm-hmm. you know, we see what's happened to Harvey Weinstein
sort
and other
of.
Men. Well, it's just in process, whatever the process is.
Yeah.
But where is it going to go from here? Because I think that I still don't feel like there's a proper solution to all of this.
I don't think there's a proper solution. Also because we aren't fully properly addressing it. And I think it's constantly evolving and women are stepping up and coming up with ideas and men are supporting and not supporting and that kind of thing. And I think it's just going to take time for us to work through some really murky waters
right.
because there's still people that want to say like everybody out there, this is my like one soapbox moment about this. Everybody out there that's like, oh, well, like Melania Trump in your 2020 interview. Women need to come with hard evidence if they are accusing a man of such and such. And I'm just like, that attitude disrespects the concept that sexual crimes in this country are very specific. It's not a murder scene in the way that, you know, you got the gun, you can look at the bullet, and like, it's a different social relationship that we have with sex crimes in this country and how we define them, what they look like, and we're just discussing what really is a crime. There are women that have been sexually harassed and would have never called it sexual harassment because right. It's just what exists.
Right.
So to pretend like it's as simple as you bring evidence and that's the only way you can accuse is not fair. It's not a fair assessment of what's actually happening culturally. And I just think if we keep those people over there are doing that, and then there's people on the other side that's like, anything you say, if you did it, I believe you. And that's also not fair because we live in a country where you're innocent until proven guilty.
Right.
So I think it's going to take a whole lot of work. And there's probably not a simple, clean answer to how to make it more fair. If anything, I think it's just the idea that we're going so far that people can say whatever they want about whoever at this point, but it's empowering people that are the victims to speak up. And I think that's the most important part, is that people need to feel comfortable speaking up.
And I agree with that.
And maybe we'll meet in the middle at some point.
The only thing I hate about it, honestly, just from a man's point of view, is the fact of, I obviously think that every man who's disrespected a woman in that way should be banned to their own island, you know what I mean, for sure. But where the weird thing is like now I feel like I can't, you know, like joke. Like even, you know, you and I are really close. And like, I would joke with you about certain things that I would not joke with you now because I get, you know, I'm nervous. You know what I mean? Or other female friends, I'm nervous. It's like, well, maybe I should, you know, it's, you know, that banter is different now.
I feel like.
And so it's like, well, kind of like, well, where do we find the happy meeting and the solution?
I think it's time and information. There's going to come a time where it's not so like, oh God, everybody can be accused of anything.
Yeah.
Like, there will come a time where we live in a cult, I hope, that we honor women in a way that we never have
right. In
terms of sex crimes and things like that. And I think that that will make it easier and more comfortable for all of us that live in this space that are constantly trying to navigate those relationships professionally or friends and whatever. And it won't be this crazy weird like, oh God, all of a sudden it's all the way over here. The pendulum's way over there and we're just scared to do anything. Like
it's
with anything. Like, it's new waters. We got to learn how to swim in these waters.
Learn how to swim.
And learning how to swim doesn't happen overnight.
That's right. Well,
maybe a little bit.
Well, a little bit.
But, like, not swim like, what's the boy? Michael Phelps. Like, we try to learn, like, Michael Phelps-type swimming
right. In
these waters.
Okay.
Not just,
I feel you with that Olympic analogy
right
there.
We're not just trying to tread the waters. We got to learn the good stroke that works for everybody.
Yeah, got to get the good stroke.
Yeah, there right. You go. Well, ooh, that was almost an inappropriate
analogy.
See, dang, man.
Dang, I ruined it. You had a good one, too. I wasn't even trying to be, see?
Oh, whatever. In the end, we all just got to love each other and respect each other. We'll be all right.
We got a room of respect. That's
room
right.
Of respect
a room,
and
this is
love.
A room of respect and love.
Yes, it is.
Well, our guest is here.
Finally.
Karina Westbrook
guys.
In the house.
Woo-hoo!
You came right in time, our last topic before we get to interview you. So,
perfect.
Everybody say what's up to Karima.
What's up?
Hey,
we're
everybody.
Happy to have you. Congratulations on the new show on CW.
Thank you.
All American.
It's so great.
Doing your thing. Love seeing my people of color in these great roles.
I know,
especially
right?
on the CW network.
Yeah, yes. The industry has been a big shift, and so it's very exciting to see.
It's awesome. It's like it's a nice transition. I'm really starting to see.
Feeling it strong.
Even with our last topic, we got Cardi B, who allegedly may be joining the reboot of The Nanny.
Yeah.
If you guys didn't watch that show, it was a big popular show in the 90s. It was on from like 93 to 99. It had a long run. And our friend Drescher, she has that very interesting laugh voice. And she always wore like the cheetah outfits.
From
Flushing, New York.
Yeah.
And so they're redoing it or rebooting it. And apparently Fran has been looking at Cardi B to play her daughter.
Yeah.
So I know that the deal isn't final yet, but they're in negotiations and talks with Cardi's team, and Cardi's been interested. And Fran says she actually noticed Cardi after in September when Cardi, during, I believe, Fashion Week, she was wearing an outfit.
It was Dolce & Gabbana, and she had all this leopard wonderfulness, and she was like, ode to The Nanny or whatever in her comment, and that's how it kind of
blossomed out of that. And Fran's been saying, you know, she would love to, she was like, listen to our laugh. She loves the way Cardi laughs. She said, our laugh together would be a great dynamic mother-daughter team.
Yeah.
I think so.
Yeah. I think it'd be good, actually.
Yeah, I'm actually excited.
Yeah. I just want to know who she would say the dad was.
Well, see, that's what the cool thing she said on Fran was on Daily Pop on E, and she was talking about, oh, I wasn't sure, because at first she had said, like, I would have to get another daughter, or, like, another baby daddy, because Maxwell Sheffield,
yeah, was who was
they married at the end of everything and what have you. But she was saying her other idea, she started thinking, too, like, oh, well, maybe she's the nanny for, like, our kid or something, and I'm the, and I was like, oh, my God, that's perfect. Cardi B is the nanny.
Oh, that's, that would be good. Yeah. That would be good. That would be perfect for her.
I'm here for that.
I'm here for it. Yeah. You know, and I think Cardi would do it justice, actually. Those two together would be kind of funny, I think.
I think it'd be fun.
I think it'd be good. It'd be a, winning little thing.
I think so, too.
All right, well, we're going to move on to Karima's portion of the show. But first, we're going to play a trailer to All American, if you guys haven't seen it yet.
Oh, perfect.
Spencer James, Billy Baker, varsity coach, Beverly High.
Beverly Hills, huh?
Yes, sir. I've had my eye on you. You got strong hands.
You match up well against single
coverage.
Yeah.
I need you to come play for me.
Your camera's here.
Okay.
Welcome to Beverly Hills.
You're here on an academic permit.
Hey, aren't you some, like, crazy good football player?
So now the show premiered on October 10th.
Yes. So we just had our second episode aired last night.
And I'm hearing that you guys are killing it in the ratings.
You know, it's been getting a positive response. Like, we live tweeted last night, and people love the show. They're really into the storylines, and that's very exciting. We definitely want to get our ratings even higher than what they are right now. But it's definitely a positive response from every... I mean, like, I haven't read anything negative about it.
And you not guys even have, like, a critics. 90% on Rotten Tomatoes. Like, there's lots of positive energy towards the show.
It's certified fresh
at this point.
Right. According to Rotten Tomatoes, it's certified fresh.
Yeah. Hey, that's a good review right there. Yeah. And I'm excited for it, too, because, you know, obviously it stars you and Taye Diggs as well. And, you know, it's... The last sports show that I loved was Friday Night Lights.
Yeah. I want to cry.
So this, to me, this gives me, like, that, like, it reminds me of that kind of, that passion.
And that care level.
Story-wise
and with the characters, and, like, you're already, and three episodes in, you're falling in love with everybody. Like,
exactly.
I always say Friday Night Lights is the only show that I still want to know what happened to everybody.
Me too. Oh, nice.
Me too.
I feel like you guys are touching those notes already, and it's lovely.
Yeah, there's a lot of heart in this show.
How would you describe the show?
I think the show, you know, ultimately, my son, he's trying to navigate both worlds with Beverly Hills and South Central. And I think, in essence, it really shows how we're more alike than we are different, regardless of where you're from or what you have or your ethnicity or your preference sexually. You know, we all have issues. Everyone's going through something. And so all these issues are kind of exposed through Spencer's journey. You know, we all kind of come together, our family, and then Billy's family, which is Taye Diggs' character. And we're kind of exposed to what everyone is going through as Spencer is on his journey of self-discovery, trying to fulfill his dreams, and definitely trying to navigate both of these worlds. And so it's nice because you spend time... And, you know, we get to see him in Beverly Hills, and then we get to see him in South Central as well. Mm-hmm. So it's refreshing to see both of those worlds side by side, and you really see how it's not better. The grass isn't greener.
You're on the other side.
Yeah.
And you play Grace.
Yes.
And now tell us all about Grace.
Grace, well, I'm Spencer's mom. I have two kids on the show, Spencer and Dylan. And basically I've just sacrificed, you know, which I think parents – should do. I mean, you had kids, so you have to take the responsibility of raising them. And although this was a very, I didn't think it would result to him having to move to Beverly Hills. I just wanted to position him to have more opportunities to go to the school. But then ultimately he had to end up moving into the neighborhood in order to qualify to continue going to the school. So my role is to continue to encourage him, you know, even when it gets hard, you know, as a parent should do. And, you know, see this thing through, and even though it's very hard for me, the kids will never know. So I just try to bring as much wisdom and joy into both of their lives, basically.
Now, were you a sports fan prior to being on the show? Did you watch football or a lot of sports?
You know what? I did not watch. I was one of those people when, you know, I would go to like Super Bowl parties and I would be like, so what happened?
What's the way? So who, playing baseball?
Right. So who is he? So who would do it? You know, I was that person. So I had to learn like some of the positions when about the show, wanted to know like what position he played and what that was. So I did. I had like a little bit of a learning curve, but I like shows like basketball. Because I played basketball in high school. I was very active in sports in high school. But football, for some reason, I guess because I just never played, I just never really
got into it.
Yeah, never really got into it.
I can't really tell you positions.
Yeah. You just like...
I mean, I kind of get it, but I don't really... Yeah. I don't really get it. I get it.
Yeah.
But you were speaking just a little bit ago about the changes in Hollywood that are happening.
Yes.
How did this project come to you, and was that... different? Were you surprised? Were you shocked when you saw what they were doing and it was with CW? Like, how did that whole process work? And then audition wise, how did you end up with the role?
Yeah, well, it was pilot season, and that's usually the time of the year where shows are auditioning, new shows are being, they're auditioning people for the new shows in hopes that it'll get picked up and air on television later in the season. And so I auditioned, and I really liked the writing. I thought that it was refreshing. And I thought that it had a strong message. You know, I'm originally from Chicago.
Go Shy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Chi-Town. And, you know, I've definitely seen kids like Spencer. You know, I know what it is to live in certain neighborhoods and, you know, being kids becoming products of their environments just because they're there and there's really seems to be no way out. So I thought that it was refreshing that this story was being told, and he had an opportunity, and to expose all the internal struggles that he had. I feel like it really was humanized in a way that I felt like people could really relate to those struggles. They could relate to my struggles as a mom, what was happening in our world, and then also what was happening with the kids in Beverly Hills as well, the family that's there and the kids that go to that school.
Yeah.
So I liked it a lot. I felt like this show has a lot to say without being like message, you know, it's just like the story is happening and, you know, revelations are happening as well as you're watching it. And so my hope was that our younger generation are watching it and are able to see themselves and begin to ask themselves certain questions to making changes and deciding to do something different in their lives as well.
Well, you know, before I even ask you the next question, I just got to say you're killing it in this purple right here.
Right? Thank you.
It's like a picture-perfect like BHL moment. You got there. It's like, I mean, it's like you couldn't plan it even better.
You know what? This is a coincidence. I mean, it's funny. I looked up the show, and I knew the colors, but I wanted to wear this dress. This was like a dress my stylist pulled for me, so I was like...
Well, you're killing it. You're killing
it.
You're killing
it.
It worked out.
So... you were kind of talking about this a little bit earlier. We've seen a little bit of a change of Hollywood with roles and opportunities.
Yes.
Do you think are you experiencing that as an actress? Like, are you really seeing like a lot more roles opening up for leading Black actresses and producers and directors of color?
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's so exciting. I used to get very emotional about it, like reading stuff and, you know, at one point, you knew all the actresses. You knew it was like five actresses that were working. You were like, Nia Long, Smiley, Gabrielle Union, you know.
Right.
But now it's like, it's so many people I don't know. And it's like, I'm researching. I'm like, oh, that's cool, you know. And at one point, it wasn't like that. You had to be a star, basically, to be working. And now there are so many actors and actresses that are getting shots that they wouldn't have gotten before unless they had some sort of big resume or a big name. And also with like showrunners, I went to CW, had a celebration of women this past week, and there were so many showrunners that's running the shows on that network. And I'm like, wow, like 10 years ago, that was kind of like unheard of. You know, you didn't really see that. So I definitely see the progress. I mean, people like Issa Rae.
Killing it,
It's happening. You know, people are creating, you know, doors, kicking down doors, you know, and it's refreshing to see, and it's very exciting because there's so much talent out there.
Sure.
And so it's an exciting time for sure.
And it seems like networks are starting to take bigger chances too. You know, like, I mean, traditionally what I thought of what the CW was were very specific types of shows.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I feel like that formula now is starting to change because they do see, hey, they br- black folks bring, you know, bring numbers to television, movies.
Yeah.
You know, we are creative in writing and directing, and we can make it happen. And we have a loyal audience that follows us to those places, and, yeah. and not just a black audience,
yeah.
you know?
Yeah.
So it is refreshing to see. I have a, we've talked about this too on the show. There's a little bit of a fear that I have that it's like, it, it's not always going to be that way. Like, this is some temporary thing to
it's
fix
a trend.
The
yeah.
trend and I don't
right
want
now.
That
hot
to
right
be the
now.
Case. Yeah, we're hot right now, but it's like, you know, I'm hoping that with, as you were saying, so many showrunners and so many people even behind the scenes that that continues.
Yeah,
know, to
I,
have
I don't
grow.
Think there's any turning,
turning back.
Back. Yeah,
yeah. Okay.
It's, right. it's too widespread yeah. at this point. You know, we have people in powerful positions now that can hire. And before, you had to have like $1 million to
right.
create a project.
That's
now
true.
People are making projects on their cell phones.
Literally.
And it's getting
yeah.
picked up.
Yeah.
And, you know, we have Netflix. So we have so many different outlets right now, avenues to have get distribution for your projects. I don't think that we're going to go back to like the UPN days, and then mm-hmm. you know UPN had those five hot shows,
five,
and then those
five shows.
Those shows were gone. It was
right.
like,
exactly.
where are
like,
we?
Where the black
yeah,
folks?
Where are
we?
Yeah,
right,
yeah,
yeah. Right. Exactly. Yeah.
Sure.
So so I think those days are pretty much done. For
yeah.
sure. Yeah.
Well, as we're moving forward, I know you also are a content creator yourself.
Yeah.
So first, of all of this new talent that you get to see and are seeing popping up, who would you love to collaborate with at this point? And what would you like to do moving forward beyond, after, or on the off time from All American?
Oh, my God. I would like to collaborate with Issa Rae. I think she's very funny. I tend to look at comedic writers and creators because I just think that, you know, laughter just brings, you know, joy, and I typically like to watch content like that. But there's a lot of people that's not even content creators, like actors. There's a lot of actors mm-hmm. I would like to work with, like Lakeith Stansfield, Chadwick Boseman,
oh, yeah.
Regina King. I mean, it's just so many people that I would just like to collaborate with. And also just to work with as an actor, because I think they're so talented, you know.
Well, we're enjoying, we have to wrap, but we're enjoying watching you blossom and grow. And we're going to continue to support you. You always have a home here at BHL. So as your career grows, please come back in and let us know what projects you're working on.
Definitely. Thank
Where's
you.
Your, where can fans find you on social media?
Fans can find me. Supporters can find me. I like to call people supporters.
I like that.
Yeah.
I like that. I might steal that.
Supporters can find me on Instagram at only the number one, and then my name, Karima. So it's only one Karima. That's my handle. Do I just spell it or no?
It's actually on the lower
okay,
third.
That's,
yeah.
Okay, that's
the lower
third. So that's the same handle for Instagram and for Twitter.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then they could also catch you on All American on the CW.
On Wednesday night, 9 8 Central. Tune in. You will love it. And it's, I feel like people are so excited about the show, but in my mind, I'm like, oh, they haven't seen nothing yet.
I was going to get
yeah,
even better.
Yeah, because I know
so
the
great.
Scripts, you know, and so that's very exciting.
Yeah.
I'm excited to see the rest
you're
of the
gonna
season.
You're going to have followers for so long, because those CW fans, they hold
they're
on
loyal.
To those
yeah.
shows,
they're
and
loyal.
They love them, and they follow them.
Oh, they're very
so,
serious.
Yeah.
I've been seeing it on Twitter, and it's just like...
Yeah, they don't play.
Yeah.
Courtney, where can fans find you?
Supporters, which I love more.
Or, sorry, supporters, right, supporters.
Can find me all over the social medias at Stuart Starlet.
And you can support me all over the social medias at Daryl Kristen. You can find me on CBS's This Is LA on the weekends, giving you some lifestyle tips and
yeah,
fun
honey.
Stuff. And be sure to check out All American. If you haven't watched it, it's a good show.
Check
you're
going
to get
guys.
You're gonna get addicted.
Yeah.
Check out our girl Karima. She's doing her thing.
Yep. Yes.
She's killing that purple.
Thank
we'll
you.
See y'all so next pretty. Time. Peace.
Bye.
From executives Kevin Undergaro, Dario Kristen, Tiana Hobson, and the entire BHL staff, we would like to thank you for supporting Black Hollywood Live, the first online broadcast network dedicated to African-American entertainment. For questions and comments, contact us. info@blackhollywoodlive.com. Like us on Facebook, tweet us, or Instagram us at BHL Online. And I am the official voice of Black Hollywood Live, Scipio. Instagram me. At King XO Bay. Thanks for tuning in.
The views expressed here are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of BHL or its owners or principals.